Have you ever asked yourself this question? Or have you ever made this statement? Who am I to be used like that? I want to share to you today a message that's entitled The Unlikely Ones. We feel like that, don't we, sometimes? Why would you pick me? Why would you choose me to be a part of this team? Why would you, even God, pick me to be your mouthpiece, to be your... You ever been there before? Well, to be honest with you, I think at some point in time, we've all been there. We've all asked that question, why me? Why would that... You know, I used to say that, they still do, to about my wife. Why would she pick me? There's better-looking kids in school. I know why she picked me, but I'm just saying, because God ordained it and put it together. But in the natural, why? Why would God pick me and choose me to be here with you today? Why would God pick you to do something? It's a great question, isn't it? But here's the problem. By us saying, who am I to be used like that? We've already disqualified ourselves. We've already set the tone that we can't be used in great ways. We've already through prerequisites of what people have told us we're not good at, or we can't do, or we can't be used, or that person can't love me, or whatever it may be, or even what we in our own thinking have said to ourselves about us. Well, I can't do that. I'm not educated enough. Well, I don't speak well, so how can God use me as a mouthpiece? Or I'm not strong enough. How can I do this? Or I'm not good enough at that. And so we disqualify ourselves even before the game even started. And so we walk through life constantly disqualifying ourselves from either what God wants us to do, or even what maybe we have a desire to step out and try. And so we go into something already believing we're going to fail. I want us today to allow God to touch our minds and touch our hearts, to change that thinking, to change that mindset. I love what Pastor David said earlier about what Bishop Tom always said. Bishop Tom always said that. He said that God would never leave us where we were in that mess. So we walk around sometimes feeling like we're in a mess, but realize this, that we're not going to be left there, that God will pull us out of that and equip us. Equip us for great things. I don't know about you. I don't want to do good things. I want to do great things. I don't want to just get by. I want to succeed and be above and beyond. And so the only way that happens is with God moving in me and through me. Me surrendering all that I am, all that I think, all my strength, everything, every part, every fiber of who I am unto God and unto God's will and to God's plan and into his hands, that he can continually mold me and shape me and stretch me and pull me back together, put me on the wheel, do what he needs to do, that I can succeed in everything instead of walking around saying, why would it be me? Who am I? Let me tell you a story. True story. There's this guy, and when he was born, they were going to kill all the babies. But what his mother did was floated him in the river in a basket. And the king's, or the Pharaoh's daughter, found the baby floating in the basket. And eventually brought this baby into the palace and raised them as her own. Highly educated, strong, valiant young man he turned into. But he wasn't fully the Egyptian that a lot of people thought he would be or should be. His name was Moses. And see, what happens, though, is Moses begins to have a stirring within him about seeing the unjust behavior that is the unjust treatment of his people. So Moses all of a sudden has this shepherding heart to begin to try to help. And what happens, though, is Moses gets a little too full of zeal, a little too full of passion, a little too full of anger, a little too full of a lot of the same emotions that you and I go through every day. And he lashes out and someone dies. What happens is someone saw this take place. And so Moses totally freaks out and he runs. He packs up and he leaves everything behind. And then all of a sudden, Moses is in this land. And he's in the desert. And all of a sudden, the freakiest thing happened. I'm talking like above and beyond normal. This bush is burning, but it's not burning. It's on fire, but it's not getting smaller. But out of the midst of this burning bush, a voice comes out and begins to speak to Moses. And this voice begins to declare to Moses what he is going to do. See, the voice is the voice of God, and God will speak to you and I, whether through a burning bush, through a person, through the reading of the word, through prayer. God will speak to his children. We need to first come to that understanding. God today still speaks to his children. There are people saying that God will not speak to his children, but only through the pastor or through... No, that's not true. God will use the pastor, use other leaders or other people to speak and confirm some things, but God will speak one-on-one with his children. Think about that. As a parent, would you go through life not talking to your child, to your son or your daughter? Absolutely not by choice, right? Most likely. So God will choose to speak, and God will speak to you and I. And so God is speaking to Moses, and then he tells Moses, Moses, check this out. In all of your dysfunction, and all of who you were, and all of how people view you to be, I have a plan for you, son. I love that. Because that's like my story. In all my dysfunction, and all who I was, and all the fun times, bad times, and everything in between, God is like, Tommy, I got a plan and purpose. See, Moses' plan and purpose, God said this in verse 10 of chapter 3. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring forth my people. I love that. See, so Moses is called. He has a plan that is now put into motion into his life. Think about this. He is face to face with the living God. The voice of God is speaking to Moses through the bush. He gets a command, he gets a call, and here's what Moses says. Verse 11. Who am I that I should go? Really? Moses. A burning bush that's not burning. A voice coming from it, giving you a purpose, a call, a vision, whatever it may be. Moses, check this out. And what does he say? But who am I? You're the son or a son of the living King. That's who you are. That's who you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, continue to speak truth to us this day. Reveal all that needs to be revealed to us. Open our hearts and minds and ears and eyes to any which way you would move today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so Moses gives a response that I think many of us give when God's trying to move in a new way or reaffirming a word that was previously spoken. Is we immediately go to, well, I can't because. I want us to prayerfully and hopefully allow God to change that mindset. Allow God to rearrange some things within us that will help us not respond in that way to what God's called us to do. I believe it can happen. We just have to be open and willing. And can I tell you something about it? It's really scary. Let's be honest. It's scary because there's a lot of unknown. A lot of unknown when God begins to call and move in these dimensions in our lives. It's a scary thing. I remember it was a scary thing when God was calling me to ministry and he wanted me to speak and work with young people I never worked with young people. I worked on the highway. I laid pavement. I dug ditches. I fixed fire hydrants. I never worked with a teenager. I didn't even know if I liked teenagers at the time. I'm just being honest. I was just out of my teen years anyways then. So it was scary. But the minute that I said, I'm in, things began to change. I could have disqualified myself. I could have said, no, why me? Actually, I didn't. I had the conversation that Moses did with God. But we can't do that. And so we sit here today, and many of us have been called by God. Many of us have God speaking to us. Many of us have God encouraging us, God showing us dreams and visions, God showing us a path to go on. And many of us are like, why me? Or who am I? I want to look at Moses just a little bit, because I believe we can learn some things from Moses that are so vital for us moving forward. And so what we must come to understand is that in this thing called the cycle of life, because, you know, we're born, we live, we work, we breathe, we have families, we have jobs, in the midst of the cycle of life, you know, we're going to make choices and decisions, and those choices and decisions will have an outcome. We'll be moved by feelings, we'll be moved, you know, whatever it may move us to make these choices, but they're going to have an outcome. And so what I would hope is that our choices and decisions are based off what God is saying, what God's word is, and how God's word is directing us to engage into what he wants for us. Because we can't avoid or come to say that, you know what, this is not going to happen, because it's going to happen. Just like Moses on that thing, it's going to happen. And so, but what we need to do, or what we need to realize, is that we're going to have a meeting with God. Moses had a meeting with God. But it's our response that I think is key for us today. What is our response in the presence of God Almighty? Let's just look at Moses' real quick. You know, Moses responded, when he responded, he really was responding out of a feeling of inadequacy. You know, he had done some terrible things. He felt like he couldn't, you know, do this or he couldn't do that. He was responding out of a sense of feeling inferior or even worthless to a degree, rejected. The people were rejecting him for trying to help, so there was a whole rejection thing. So Moses really was kind of at the, what I would say, kind of at the bottom of the ladder or the bottom of the rung and how he was responding. He was responding out of those feelings and out of those emotions and out of what he believed to be true of what either other people were saying or what he was feeling about himself. Because here's what he says to God. When he says to God, who am I? He's saying he has no ability. Let me encourage you in here today. You all have some type of ability in your life. We need to get on square one. Each one of us has some ability in us. Now, what's that ability is you may need to discover just what it is and where it can be used and where it can be plugged in, but you have ability. Let no man and no woman tell you you don't. Okay, do I have any grandmothers in the house? Grandmas, raise your hand up. Grandmas. Love me grandmas. Love grandmas. Why? Because they have the ability to impact their grandchildren like never before. Grandmothers have the ability to have their grandchildren tell them things that they would never tell their parents. Therefore, grandmas and grandpas can speak things into their grandchildren's lives at a certain point in time before their parents can even do that. That's an ability and a gift that you should never forget you have. Anybody work with their hands, construction, mechanics, anything like that? Anybody? Okay. You have an ability that other people don't have. You have the ability to build and create. You have the ability to fix and repair. You have the ability. I told you, I'm lucky if I can find a dipstick on my car motor. Years ago, maybe, but not now. I just stare and freak out, and then call my mechanic. What do I do? Send a tow truck. Educators, in any way, shape, or form. Educators, raise your hands up. I know there's a lot of educators in here, all across the room. Even though you're teaching our children, the future generations, things that they need to know in life, education-wise, to grow them to know history, to mathematics, to all those things, you also, as believers, have the ability to be a godly example. Our young people need that. Our young people need godly examples. And what a greater individual than someone who works in the classroom. Now, that doesn't mean you're walking around with your Bible, preaching scriptures. No, it means you're living out loud your faith in a way that is encouraging and showing kids how it can happen and what can be done. Doctors, any doctors in the house? Nurses, medical field people. If God's a healer, God heals. God can heal at any time by the snap of his fingers, by his voice. But God has also given us doctors and pharmacists and nurses and surgeons to also help mankind. So you have the ability to save a life on a corner, on a street corner. You have the ability to make a difference in someone else's lives, as well as even encouraging words while someone's going through something traumatic in the emergency room. Do you see? You all have an ability. Moses is like, I don't have any ability. He's like, God, I have nothing to offer you. And God's like, no, you do have an ability. And let me tell you how much ability I have. I will be with you, he says. He goes, but God, I don't even have something to say. Ever feel like you have nothing, you don't know what to say when something comes up? Right? Well, God tells Moses, you know what? No, you do have something to say because I'll be in your words. I'll be a part of your mouth. I'll be your mouthpiece. You just need to open up. And then when they're asking questions, what you should say is the I am that I am sent you. So God is telling Moses, I'll give you the words to say. So what we do is we say, but I don't even know how to respond. I don't even know what to say or do. And I don't have, well, now that I come to the realization, I have ability, but I also realize that God will give me the words to say. Sometimes what I do, when someone says something, I'm going to give you a little secret. I used to be a quick responder. That could be good, or most of the time it was bad. Most of the time it was not good. So what I learned is when something's being said, I do this, Lord. In my head, I'm praying this, Lord, what should I say? And wait a second. I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to hurt somebody. But I want to bring a word that whatever is going on will benefit them, will help them. Word of encouragement. Lord, what is it that I should say? You know where we can practice it? With our kids. Because don't our kids drive us crazy sometimes? Don't we just want to be like, right? You ever been there before? Or you just sit down and you do this? What the heck is going on? Right? Just occasionally, not all the time, but every now and then. Right? So we start there. Well, you know, Lord, what should I say right now? What should I say? See, because God will give you the words to speak. When you're out somewhere and you hear somebody talking or you hear something, God, what should I say? You have the ability. See, because your workplace or what your call in life is gives you the ability then also to speak what God would want you to speak. But see, then Moses is like, but I don't really have, you know, what authority am I going in? If you and I are believers of Jesus Christ, and we have him as our Lord and Savior. We've accepted him as Lord and Savior. We walk through life in his authority and under his authority. And so Moses is all freaked out. Like, they're not going to believe him because, you know, they knew who he was. They might have had some, you know, posters up about him, you know, this and that. The word got out what happened. And so he's got to go back to this land that he was definitely feeling rejected in. His own people didn't want him, and they were calling him out in front of him. So what is he going to do that's going to really tell them or convey to them the message of the importance of what he's doing. God's like, I've given you a rod. He's like, you're going to go with my words. You're going to go with my ability that I've given you in your life, your gifts and your talents. But now I'm going to give you some, show them some things that will show the authority of God Almighty that would move. And he says, you have the staff, throw it on the ground, turns to the snake. He says, take your hand, Moses, put it in your cloak, pull it back out. It's full of leprosy. Puts it back in, pulls it back out, it's gone. Grab some water, pour it on the ground, watch the water turn to blood. So not only is Moses saying, I don't have any ability, I don't have the proper words to say or convey the right message, I don't even know what authority I come in. What I love about God is he clearly lays it out for Moses that everything that Moses needs is in him. And that being in him, he's going to put it in Moses to fulfill the task at hand. And see, I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, I need to know that. That God has given me the ability. He will put the words in my mouth, and he will give me the authority to walk in arenas and areas because he's with me. Right? And see, so I don't have to say this. I don't have to, well, put my title up, please. I don't have to say, I'm the unlikely choice. I don't have to say that any longer. I don't have to walk around saying, I'm the unlikely choice. Why would God choose me? Why would this person ask me to be a part of their business? Why would this person want to marry me? Why would this person? No, we don't have to go through all that because we understand who we are in God. We understand who we are in Christ. We understand what we have in him. See, Moses, he had some issues. But God was beginning to fix those issues. He's beginning to straighten him up, get him ready to go and do what he was called to do. But we must understand today is that when you have ability, we must stop selling ourselves short by saying we don't. We don't. I can't do that. There are people in here that can change the world. You have to believe in God and believe that God will use you and then step out. You can do so many things that you set out to do if we just stop thinking that we can't do it. I said at graduation ceremonies all weekend at Canisius College, and everything that they said was a common theme that was kind of relevant through the whole services of every ceremony, everything, was love God. It was love God, serve other people, and release what God has in you into the world. In other words, love God, have that relationship with God one-on-one. Serve people. Find somebody who needs something done and serve them. And use your talent, use your ability to change the world around you. I love that. It's right what the message is saying today. Use your ability. Use what God has given you to love people, to change things around us for the glory of God and to grow the kingdom of God. It's all right there. But that won't happen. Andy, can you put the title screen up? Will that pop up, please? That won't happen if we continue to see ourselves as the unlikely choice. It won't. We will talk ourselves out of doing what God wants to do. I'll share it just briefly. You've heard it before. I want you to picture God sitting right here. And I'm sitting here. But I need you to picture me like in 80s attire, okay? Fanny pack, the mullet, the whole deal, 80s attire. Hey, Tommy, I want you to go into ministry. Not me. God, you don't need me. No, I do. Nope. You don't. You really don't. Because you have. And I listed a bunch of family members. You don't need me. No, I do. I'm really not into the whole church thing. And church really isn't a thing, by the way. Y'all need to know that. It's not a thing. Church isn't a thing. I'm not into the whole church thing, God. I know it's not. I know you're not. But it's about relationship. It's not about a thing. It's about relationship. Yeah, God, I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I know you're not. But I need you to do something. Yeah, but God, you have. Yeah, no. And then all of a sudden, out of the craziness of everything, I had this giant epiphany, which I really think it was God. Leave Evans and go to college outside of the town. Leave your friends and everybody behind and go to college somewhere. Why? Because on that path, I wasn't on the right path. So thinking that I'm going to go have this amazing experience in a college, getting a business degree to make boatloads of money and have really cool toys that go really fast on the water and on the street and maybe in the air if I start to like heights better. To have all this stuff accumulated. Nah. See, Moses was walking and this bush was on fire. I was in a chapel service saying, I got to get back to my room and play Tecmo Bowl. For those of you video gamers, you know exactly what that is. Old Sega Tecmo Bowl. But something happened. Through our worship team at college, which I really didn't like, because it was just like so kumbaya to me. It was like so like, I don't know. But through this song that they were playing, through what was ever happening on the platform, all of a sudden something like just hit me on the inside. And all of a sudden, I had this encounter with God, this meeting, this face-to-face exchange like Moses did. And it was like, okay, I need you to, and I wasn't saying, no, why me? I was like, okay, what do I do? So what I did was after I got off the floor and got my bearings all together, I went to my best friend at the time and still best friend today and one of my roommates from school who at 16 knew he was a pastor, grew up in the church, was already preaching. I'm like, hey, I got a question. What is this whole pastor thing? Because I'm really feeling called to work with my father in ministry. And then, see, God put him in my path for a reason. I say because I was socially helping him because he was awkward. I mean, totally socially awkward. I mean, like, pajamas at 7 o'clock at college on a Friday night. He needs prayer. Okay? He needs prayer. And that was not when you wore pajamas out, like, to Walmart and Target and all these other. No, you didn't wear pajamas out. You wore them to bed. Okay? And, like, he's like, I'm like, whoa, freshman. Calm down. A little too much right now. So I felt that was my call to help him socially. But God put us together so he can help me spiritually. Because I had the questions of how to use my ability or how to train my ability or how to do whatever that God wanted me to do. I had those questions of, well, what if I don't know the scripture? You know what he told me? Tell them or don't ever tell them something you don't know. Look it up. Tell them you get back to them. Ask God to tell you what to say and how to say it. See, so this is how it works out. And we sit here today the same. God has been knocking at some doors for a really long time. Because there's a great plan for you. More than what you can possibly imagine. But like Moses, we're too busy saying, not me. I don't know why you're picking me, God. Do you know, God, I'm busy? Do you know my schedule? Do you know my schedule? We've had these dialogues with God. Anyone ever had a dialogue with God about your schedule? God, I'm busy. Oh, really? And then God reveals to you, but you watched, you know, two basketball games. You did this, you did that. You went here, you went to the gym and ran for an hour and a half. You did. You're real busy doing nothing. Or not what I want you to do. And a lot of times God's just saying, give me a half an hour. Give me 20 minutes. Give me an hour. Because once you begin to give an hour, 20 minutes, or 10 minutes, all of a sudden you'll see an increase. It's like prayer. I remember when, you know, I thought praying for a minute was a long time. Now on Wednesday mornings in here, I could be here an hour and think it was like 5 minutes. Because what happens is you grow into it. Why? Because you what you didn't think you had the ability to do, all of a sudden there's revelation that God is doing something different in you. It changes everything. And so Moses goes through this whole thing. But I think what's really important that we must understand is what God told Moses. When Moses says, well, who should I say sent me? He said, tell them the I am that I am sent you. And I think it's really important for us to understand that because God was clarifying a few things about that. It just wasn't about telling them who sent him, but it was actually giving us an understanding of who he is and the power and what he has in him that we have when we accept him as Lord and Savior. See, because God's a covenantal God. And so when he says, I am that I am, he was talking about having a covenant with his people. He mentioned even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was talking about, you know, a covenant. But he didn't want covenant with, he doesn't want just covenant with an old group of people from the Old Testament. He wants covenant with today's people, you and I. Covenant is that relationship. He wants it with you and I. He talks about, you know, I am that I am. He's talking about, you know, how he has these attributes and these characteristic traits that are so important for us to understand that when you and I receive Jesus into our lives, into our families, into who we are, he brings all those attributes into our lives as well. And it's important for us to know that because we'll need to lean on some of those when we're realizing that we're not the unlikely choice, but we're the choice of God because I'm a son or his daughter. See, what we need to understand when God's clarifying and talking about I am that I am, what he's saying is he's telling us all about himself. He's saying, listen, I'm all present. I'm everywhere. And sometimes we walk through life feeling alone. Listen, natural people will leave you. I'm going to be real for a second here. Your friends who are like, brother, you and me forever. A lot of times that forever is about 2 more months, and then it's over. I tell every high school student when I was a youth pastor, listen, all your friends that you're like crying about leaving, in 4 years you won't even know their name anymore. Most of them. Very few of you will still hang out with your high school friends because you're going to go off to a college and make a whole new group of friends, and they'll become lifelong friends. It's very unique how it works. So, you know, but when we're feeling alone, like no one loves me, no one cares about me, no one's there for me, know this, that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is next to you. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's at your sides. He's wherever you walk, he goes. You carry his presence within you. It's the Holy Spirit. And then he's all powerful, omnipotent, meaning that, you know, sometimes we feel like we can't do it. Moses couldn't do what God was calling him to do on his own. We saw what he did back in Egypt, right? On his own strength. It didn't work out too well. I can't walk through life on my own strength and my own ability, on my own knowledge, on my own understanding. I can't do that. Because, see, I've tried that many times. And you know what happens? This guy fails. Because I'm human. I fail. But because God's all-powerful, he gives me the strength. He gives me the ability to keep moving, to keep going where I... He's all-powerful. And his power and might is transformed in me and fills me. See, he's all-knowing, omniscient. God's all-knowing. So those dialogues that we have, myself included, but God, you just don't know how I feel. You ever have that before? God, you don't know. You don't know what it's like. You have no idea. I swear, you know what God's doing? What is wrong with him? Does he forget who I am? Does he forget? Did he really just say, I don't know how he feels? Right? But in my head, it's like, it sounds amazing and it sounds convincing. And God's just shaking his head like, listen, no. I know. Because I am housed within you. My spirit dwells within you because you accepted me as Lord and Savior. I know everything about you. I know your concerns. I know your fears. I know your joys. I know what makes you happy. I know what makes you anxious. I know everything about you. But because my power is also housed within you, and my spirit is within you, I can give you the ability to do all those things necessary. And understand this, I never leave you or forsake you. Amen. See, and when we continue to talk about the attributes and the things of God, understand God's a good God. God's a God of love. God's a God of grace and mercy. God's a God, you know, that there's just so much about God that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. There are so many things about God that he wants to do in our lives and be a part of that we haven't even scratched the surface, because every time God calls you or I, you know what we do? We pull a Moses. God, I just can't do that. I'm so incapable of doing that. I'm the unlikely choice. And God's like, no. No, you're not. You're the farthest thing from the unlikely choice. And so let me just give you some people that would, this might help you at ease with God choosing you. There's this guy named Joseph, right? God chose Joseph to be an integral part of what he wanted to do. But Joseph, he had some serious issues. He had some dysfunction in his family. So dysfunctional, they sold him into slavery. Talk about family gatherings. That'd get a little awkward, right? Especially if Joe shows back up. Hey, what's up? Remember me? You sold me. Right? Yeah, God used them. You guys heard of David, right? Mighty David, the young warrior. Pick up the stone, slay his Goliath, right? You know David, right? The king who danced before God. And it just, oh God, I love you. Who wrote Psalm after, oh God, you're beauty, you're this, you're that. David had someone killed. David was having an affair. David had some issues. And yet God used him. God used him. I think of Noah. Noah builds this amazing ark. You know, does everything God wants him to do. But then he gets all tore up one night. Gets all out of control, hitting the wine or whatever they were drinking at the time. And they find him laying totally naked and exposed on the ground. Out of control. You know what God does? He uses people. Even people that others would say, why would he be used or why would she be used? They're being used because the thumbprint of God is on their life. That's why they're being used. They're being used because when God calls them, they say, you know what? I know I need to get some things fixed, but I know God in you, the healing comes and the restoration comes and the wholeness comes and the fixing comes. So God, I'll be used. I think of Gideon. You know Gideon, he's just a warrior, isn't he? Gideon, he gathers, you know, the 300 and he's killing armies and he's taking like. But the reality is, before all that, he was such a wimp, it was pathetic. You know, trying to talk himself out of it. He's so full of fear. Oh my God. And yet, you know what? God used him. God used him. God used. Now, this one would really freak people out. Really. I mean, like, this one would take people above and beyond comprehension in the church realm. There's this beautiful, well, I don't know if she's beautiful. I never saw a picture of her. But there's this girl, right? And God wants to use her. And God uses her in a mighty way. I mean, to save a lot of people from being killed, and or not being killed, but just uses her in a way that God needed to be used. But the problem was, she was a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. Do you see where I'm going with all these people? They all could have said, yeah, but God, I got this, and God, I got that. God is looking for a people who will say, God, you got to fix some things if I want to be effective. God, you got to fix some things if I'm going to be effective. I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to use what little ability I have, because you'll add to my little ability and I'll have enough ability. I'm willing to go out not knowing exactly what to say or how to say it, knowing that, God, you will give me the words to say. You'll give me the things that need to come out of this mouth the proper way that will be beneficial, that will bring life and not death. God, I'm willing, but you got to be a part of it. You got to be in control of it all. God, I'm willing to do whatever it is to walk in your authority. I'm here. I get it. But God, what I need you to do is I need you to heal my mind first. I need you to heal every negative word that was spoken to me on how I'm no good, how I'm worth nothing, how I'll never amount to anything, how I can never be used. And all those, I need you to remove those from my mind. Because the mind wants to play tricks. And every time, God, I'm doing something good for you, the devil tries to bring that thing back up and say, that's not really what's, it's not going to last long. It's going to come up. It's, God, heal my mind. God, also help me not to see myself the way I've been trained to see myself in the natural, but help me to see myself, God, the way you see me. The way you see me, God. Because I always fall back into something different than what you really see me to be. So, God, I need you to help me and to show me that. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to live that way. See, that's where it starts. But that will take place in the meeting, face-to-face with God. That's that interaction part. That's that Moses at the burning bush part. That's where we get in his presence. We're like, God, just do what you got to do. I am a likely choice. God, actually, for this job that you're sending me on, apparently in your eyes, I'm the only choice right now. So I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be who you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. Say what you want me to say. God, I'm all in. I'm available. Worship team, you can come up. I'm all available. So let's not walk through life any longer with our heads down and our shoulders hunched over, saying that, you know what, I can't, or I'm not good enough, or this or that. We're not going to start tomorrow's morning. We cannot start tomorrow morning by disqualifying ourselves before the day even started. We can't. We really have to walk around and declare who we are. I am the son, or I am the daughter of God Almighty. We got to come to the understanding that I have been bought. Devil, I have been bought with a price. And the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Devil, you can't steal it. You can't take away it. You can't even remove the promises that are in him. We need to start the day by saying, you know what? I am free. I am free from this bondage, from this chain, this shackle that has been trying to get hold. I am free because Jesus has set me free. See, I'm really not the tail of anything. I'm the head. I'm a leader. I'm called by God Almighty. We need to start reading the words and declaring that in our lives, the promises of what God says. Can you hand me my phone? I want to close with this. I hope it's on there still. I read this yesterday from a pastor. See, what we need to do is we need to have kingdom alignment. In other words, we're aligning ourselves into the kingdom of God and what God's calling us to do. Kingdom alignment. Our families, our workplace, all that we are. And this pastor, his name is Bill Wilson. I was just scrolling through Twitter yesterday, and this came up and from someone else who liked it. And it just, like, you know what it did? It punched me in the face. That's how God's, he just showed me, I was like, oh. So I had to snapshot it and you know, because I thought maybe I'd share it someday. I didn't have planning on sharing this today. Here's what he said in his message the other day, or I don't know what, I believe it was the other day. He says, "You and I are God's representatives. When we see something, speak God's word and bring every situation into kingdom alignment." Speak God's word into every situation, bring it into kingdom alignment. So when we begin to say, "I can't," God is really saying, "You can." So we need to speak the word that God has given us into that situation, into the area. See, because I'm more than a conqueror, I can overcome that. Through maybe, it may be difficult, it may be tough, it may be hard, but according to what God's word says, I speak, God, your word into this situation. I am more than a conqueror. I will not be overtaken by this. Then what you do is you call your two or three closest friends and you're like, "Hey, bro, can you pray for me? This week is tough. This is what's going on. I need you to pray that the Kingdom Alliance would come in this." See, because now I'm not alone, but now I have people, I have, come up here, you two, real fast. Come up here real quick. On the platform, come on. You're allowed up here. Come on. Come on. You don't have to wear ropes on your ankles. I need you. Stand right there. Kristen, can you come up here real quick? We won't put her on the side. You can go behind. Stand right here. See, so when I'm going through life, see, God's omnipresent, right? So God's always around me. He's doing his thing. But when I call my core, my people that I allow in, not everybody's allowed in. You need to know that. Not everybody's allowed. Don't allow everybody in. Don't allow everybody in. Make sure you know who you're allowing in. But I've called them about what's going on. So I'm like, "Pray for me, intercede for me." So God is warring before me. God is warring at my sides. God is warring. But I also have other prayer warriors with me aligning God's word into the situation. So I'm fully protected wherever I may walk. Now, they physically may not be with me at work, but you know what? They're at home still warring for me. They're praying for me in the morning or in the day. We need to begin to align with the kingdom, what the word of God says. Now, we're declaring it, right? Now, our friends that we trust are praying and declaring it over our lives as well. We need to understand that, because when God says, "I have to," why, who am I, God? No, I know who I am. God, I'm all in. Thank you. You need to get that visual of your people around you interceding and praying. All in, let's stand to our feet. Speak the word into alignment. Speak the word over the situation into the alignment of what God has for you. No more Moseses. No more Moseses pre-walking out what God wanted them to do. No more conversations of how I can't do it. God, how I can't be used. No more of that. Now, there will be times where you need to be trained and you need to go through a certain thing to get to a certain point. That's part of life. That's just, you know, I didn't like wake up at 18 wearing a Grateful Dead t-shirt and was like, "Hey, Dad, I got a message for Sunday to preach when I come home." He'd been like, "Boy, don't even." So I had to go through a season, a process to get to where I was. And don't let the process get you off track either, because in the process is where the pruning takes place. You need to understand that. I mean, there's a lot of pruning off me. They're still pruning off me. The pruning will never stop. So don't hate the process. Embrace the process, because when you try to buck the process, it only hurts worse. Embrace the process as you walk through the process, because at the end of the process is the release. And in the release is when you begin to move and function and go where you need to go and do what you need to do according to what God's saying and how God's moving. But there's no more "who am I's." Let's remove that from our thinking. Let's remove it from our vocal cords. It's no longer "who am I, God, to do that." No, you're a child of God. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. All scripture, what God says you are. Not me, scripture. That's who you are. So much more. So much more. So you can walk in it. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, your word has resonated in a lot of lives today. Lord, you've revealed things to us that we have maybe even not realized we are continually doing. But God, you are calling us out of that and into something new, into something great, into something dynamic, because your hand is all over it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us this day to no longer immediately respond with, "Who am I?" That God, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ, you who strengthen us. God, you have plans and purpose. You have visions. You have calls on lives in this sanctuary today. Father, begin to do a new work in them, to revive a dead work within them, to release those who are ready to be released into those areas. Father, help us realize that in you we have all that is necessary because of your attributes and the character of who you are. Father, I declare that this day you continue to show us our ability, you continue to give us the words to speak, and you continue to give us the tools necessary to move forward for advancement, for growth. Lord, I pray this and I ask this upon each and every person in this arena, in the sanctuary, and even those who would watch it on playback. Father, we come to you and we declare that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have your way, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Here's what I want to do. Prayer team. If you're on the prayer team, come on down here real quick. I know I went a little bit later than I anticipated today, but I want to still have the altars open for prayer. So if you need prayer for anything other than what we talked about, we want to pray for you today. Enjoy the weather. Tomorrow night's healing service. A lot of things happening online. There's some small groups starting soon again, so always try to get connected to a small group.